some of that.
Oh, did that go through?
We close later this month.
Oh, great.
Would you be my neighbor?
Sure.
That's funny. It was like prophecy. The way you never just happened.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a new eye?
If I can't sing, where can he sing?
Like, I wasn't singing.
That was groaning, moaning. That was moaning.
Wow. Caterwauling.
Caterwauling. Cheerlessly caterwauling.
Good to see you alive, but you might be cold. Buddy.
I thought I would be cold. I wasn't doing well. A bunch of cripples.
Yeah, a bunch of cripples.
Have you
seen Mary yet?
Well,
came here to be healed.
I heard.
Throw those crutches away. Rise up and walk. Run around the room. You don't have enough faith. Do something you never know.
That's secret sin in your life.
Make a vow. Decree a thing. You believe there's actually a Joel Osteen game?
What?
There's actually a Joel Osteen Your Best Life Now game.
Yeah, I saw that.
It really exists. We can make that up.
I know we've got a hell of a book advance.
Last time we met, we studied in verse 16 of Ezekiel, I mean Ecclesiastes 3. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness, or the wicked one, was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity or self-seeking was there. And we talked about how that related to Abel and what it meant in the Cain and Abel story. We spent a whole time on that. But let's go to 2 Chronicles. Well, wait a minute. No, let's, just for the sake of continuity, go to Matthew 23 first. Verse 32. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily, verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. 2 Chronicles talks about this mystery of the slaying of Zechariah. So let's go there. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada, or however you pronounce that, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them and to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress you the commandments of the Lord, that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he hath forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Josiah the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he had died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. Now, this transgression occurred in the court of priests between the altar and the court. And it was so horrendous that Jesus spoke of it. It was on par with what Cain had done to Abel. Now, when Nebuzaradan came to destroy Jerusalem, he saw the blood seething in the court of priests. Now this is 252 years later, after the slaying of Zacharias. And they just, and he just slew them because, if you believe what it says in Ecclesiastes, because in the place of judgment, the wicked one was there, and or wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there, or self-seeking. And not only that, Jesus said, now this is a jillion years later, when Jesus said, quoted this, he said, You are the ones that slew him. Now, unless you can understand and hear, as we've said so often, that you are Cain, who slew Abel. You are Nimrod, who chased Abraham. You are the Amalekites, who constantly tried to destroy Israel. Unless you understand that you are the one that's being talked about here, then the scriptures will never make any sense to you. You will never understand the cross. You will never understand what it means to be the chief of sinners because you think you're a victim of the universe. Does that compute? And so you have to create theologies that keep you alive. And not only that, you have to create a theology that gives you a chance. And that's what psychology is. Psychology is a theology that gives the human race a chance. And so the whole process of saying to someone that you are the one that slew Christ, you are the one that slew Abel, you are the one, on and on and on and on, is the only way then that you can understand the meaning of the cross. Because once you understand that you are the chief of sinners, then your feeble attempts at self-realization, which is, it's obvious it doesn't work because you all die. We all die. But you might as well just get up and go get a donut if you don't understand this, if you can't accept that you are the one that slew, that Jesus is talking to, you are the generation that all this must come upon, but so is every generation. Until that happens, no matter how much you hear, no matter how much the cross is preached, you still will not have repented. You may say you're sorry if you get caught, but you won't repent from the standpoint of what God says, because repentance is joyfully walking away from yourself, leaving all of you behind. So here comes the general, who's going to, I guess he's son of Nebuchadnezzar, I think. But anyway, Nebuzaradan came to destroy Jerusalem. He saw the blood seething in the court of priests. And for 252 years, they had tried many schemes and plans to cover it. They built curtains, they built a wall around it, so that they wouldn't have to look at the seething blood that was taking place in the court. Now, that seething blood is a type of what happens in you, because no matter what you do, the shame and the guilt can never be covered. And there's a constant trying to ignore it, putting it in a closet, hiding it in a dungeon, excusing it. There's as many schemes as the Jewish priest did for 252 years trying not to see the seething blood. Anybody have any response to any of this? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're shaking your heads, but you really know?
That is the Adamic nature, race, everything out of his generation that we are. Never stops.
So the general says to the priests, he says, "What kind of blood is this which sees in this manner?" Because God had said to the blood, "It's time now for you to collect your debt." And the vehicle for him to collect the debt was Nebuzaradan. Anybody see the importance of this? This isn't a history story. This is a story about the eternal, about you right now. The priest answered, "This was the blood of bulls and goats in our sacrifices to the Lord." So Nebuzaradan had bulls and all and animals and sheep and goats and turtle doves and all of the sacrifice alongside but the blood kept seething. So he hanged a bunch of priests. And then don't go there, you can check it out. Ezekiel 24, you have to read the whole chapter because I'm not even going to give you the verse. He said, "For her blood is in the midst of her. She set it upon the bare rock. She poured it not upon the ground to cover it with dust, that it might cause fury to come up and take it the vengeance." The law said that if you shed blood, or if blood is, you shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. Now, why is that so important? Everybody talks about the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. The blood of Christ has forgiven you from all sin.
You want to hide it?
No, you want to hide your blood. You don't want to replace the blood and replace the life. He's therefore trying to give you life with his blood, while that blood which hasn't been covered, or i.e. you are buried in baptism, you recognize that you're death, and so you buried in baptism. And so you're still trying to keep you alive so the blood continues to seethe. And you can be, it doesn't matter whether you keep you alive for positive reasons or negative reasons. You try all kinds of schemes to accomplish your own redemption. You try little tricks. You try little you know, behavior patterns. You do all these little tricks to try to, the same as they did for 252 years, to try not to look at the blood. But now it's time to revenge the blood in God's timing. And he sends Nebuzaradan to collect the debt. Now, the minute you try to do something to keep you alive, then the blood seethes. That's why you cannot seek to save your life under any guise. That's why all attempts to minister to self causes... Now, what does it mean? How do you feel when the blood seethes? Well, you get anxious. You get shut up. You get dead-faced. You get... There's a jillion different outward expressions, but fundamentally, you become immobilized and you have to go up to your mountain to find some act of redemption to temporarily again hide the blood that's seething. That's why you can listen to this stuff for 30 years. You can listen to the meaning of the cross, but if the blood hasn't collected its debt, it's going to continue.
There's only one thing that satisfies the debt, too.
Blood of Christ. But that's not, it can't be used to keep you alive.
Yeah, I mean, part of the satisfaction is your debt in him.
He said to them again, now tell me, after he'd hung a bunch of priests, now tell me, what is the nature of this blood? Otherwise, I will comb your flesh with an iron comb. They finally said, there was a priest and prophet and judge named Zacharias who prophesied against us all that you are doing. But we did not believe him, and we arose against him and killed him because he reproved us. And again, forgive me, but he revealed our self-seeking. He revealed our schemes and plans to hide the blood. Nebuzaradan immediately had 80,000 priests, novitiates, brought and slew them next to the seething blood. 80,000. That's most of the priests. Remember, there were 144,000 priests. He brought 80,000. We can't even imagine this. The blood did not stop, but gushed forth until it reached the grave or the place that they had buried Zechariah. Then he took the great Sanhedrin, which was the 72, the leaders of Israel, and the minor Sanhedrin, which was like the district courts, and slew them next to the blood. But it still did not stop seething. Now it's not just seething, it's gushing. Then Nebuzaradan said to the blood, are you and your blood better than all these men? Do you wish me to destroy all your people on its account? At that moment, the Holy One, blessed be He, was filled with compassion and said, if this wicked and cruel person, the son of wickedness, who came to destroy my people, is filled with compassion for them, how much more should I? So God, it says God hinted to the blood, but what He did was He showed the blood of His Son. And it was absorbed instantly in that same place. And the same thing can happen to you if you accept your death and see that your life is only him. Then instantly the blood will stop seething. But it costs you your life. That's why Paul said, with joy, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's why he said, whatsoever things are the slightest gain to me, even knowledge of God, is a loss to Christ. Because he knew what this blood meant. So the minute, the very split second, that you try to use the mystery or continue on in your self-realization, your, you know, this crap about, oh, I'm just trying to be sincere. No, you're not. You're trying to keep yourself alive. Oh, but I just... Rabbi Judin said, 7 transgressions were committed. They killed a priest, they killed a prophet and judge, they shed innocent blood, and they defied the temple on the Sabbath. But the day that Zechariah spoke was not just the Sabbath, it was Yom Kippur. Now,
what was that about? This is what?
Do what?
I didn't understand why you just read that. Who did that?
This is what happened when they killed the priest. There were 7 transgressions. All of them had the death penalty offense. But the wild part of it was that it was on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement.
Yeah.
So Nebuchadnezzar, when he killed all these things and all the stuff that was going on, when God caused the blood to cease from seething and it disappeared, was also on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the day that John the Baptist looked, and a few miles away in the temple, it was Yom Kippur, they were sending the scapegoat out into the wilderness, and they slew one of the goats, and then he said, "Behold, the goat of God that taketh away the sin of the world." In the New Testament is translated as lamb, but there isn't a male sin offering. It's behold the goat of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so the blood stops seething on Yom Kippur, which is the day of Christ's baptism, which is prefigures 3.5 years exactly from his baptism to the time he was crucified. The mystical 42 months from the time that you understand and have some relationship with Christ until you understand your death. And that could be 1 second or it could be 42 years, but in the scriptures, the time is revealed as the 42 months. It depends on your obedience. Now, during the time of, everybody remember who Trajan was? Well, I'll just read some stuff and then you can. Rabbi Akiba was the one who in AD 132, you know, Hadrian was the guy that destroyed the temple in 70. And they had one last chance to rebuild the temple in AD 132. And it was called the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. And the war lasted from AD 132 to AD 135. And that's when they totally destroyed Jerusalem and left not one stone standing upon another. But during this rebellion with Rabbi Akiba, a robber ascended the scaffold with Rabbi Akiba at Laodicea. When Trajan executed 2 rabbis, he said to them, "If you are the people of the 3 young men of Daniel, and I am a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, let your God come and save you from my hand." They replied, "The 3 young men were upright. We are sinners." Nebuchadnezzar was a worthy king and fit for that a miracle should be wrought through him, and you are a sinful king and unfit. We are condemned to death rightly because of our sin. If you slay us, well and good. If not, something else will. If you slay us, God will exact judgment. Before he had time to leave, two deputies from Rome split Trajan's skull. That's the attitude that you must constantly have. The difference between you as can you see the evil of this king's kid theology? Gain is godliness. It destroys the mystery of God. Once saved, always saved. Destroys the mystery of God. We must continually walk in this attitude. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I deserve not even the next breath. But the minute it becomes, as it is in many places today, the Christian, an entitlement, then you become the ones who kill his people and think they're doing God holy service. Think on these things. And stop thinking that your mind is going to redeem you, or your emotions, or your reference point, or that God's sacrifice was so you could be fulfilled. It's heresy beyond heresy. It's the evidence of the great apostasy. You can't let you be the subject of your own sentence for one second. Oh, but Ollie, you hurt my feelings. Screw your feelings. Nobody asked you to be here. Going to be somewhere else, go. But I promise you something. I want you to search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. And if you say they're true and yet you continue to let the blood seethe, then you're an idiot. Oh, I can't help it. Anybody have any response? So all this is nobody. Nothing came to your mind.
I think for me at least, it's I'm gonna have to unlearn.
Well, everybody has to unlearn. You're not unique.
It takes time.
No, it doesn't. It takes one split second. Father, I leave myself behind. I accept my death. Didn't take any time.
Earlier you said repentance is joyfully leave yourself behind.
Yeah. If you just look at life. Look at all of human history. Look and see self-realization. Oh, no, well, they're not, you know. If there's any evidence that any human effort has any merit, then, look at what's going on today. Just look at what's going on in your own life. Look at, it's all corrupt. And all he wants from you is to return to this childlike dependence and not go to your anywhere else other than him for your everything. Not sit and try to figure it out. I promise you, if your mind, if you sit and try to figure, but you can't even hear this stuff until you come to the end of it. You've got to know. This is why the whole idea, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. What does sanctification mean? The best example that I know of is this salt shaker is sanctified because it's doing what it's intended. It's containing salt. And it has holes in it so the salt can come out. That means this is sanctified. This is holy. This is a saint. That's what the word means. It doesn't mean now that this salt shaker is holy, I can put paprika in it or I can put anything else in it. It was created for one thing. You were created to be a vessel for the Holy One. You were created in His image. There's a usurper that is on the land, a false thing that has happened, and it's been there since your date of self-awareness. And you've molded yourself and created yourself, and you've got 5 million things that you do to have to be able to get along in the world. And they've all failed you. I promise you, every single one of them have failed you, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be stupid enough to listen to me for 5 seconds unless everything had failed you. But the problem is you walk out there and then you forget that they failed you. And I'm going to start defending the process that failed me. Oh, I have a sweet thought. Oh, I've got a good idea this time. Oh, this emotion is going to be my friend this time. It's never been your friend in your entire life. It's always, your emotions have always deceived you. Your mind has always deceived you. It has one purpose. This is the evil one. It has one purpose, to keep you alone. It's done a damn good job. Isn't that aloneness starting to get you? Why would you then use it for anything else? All it's done, all your whole system of you-ness has done is keep you alone and brought you here. Oh no, now I'm gonna be able to use it better now. No, you're not. If you think you're learning anything from me, you're a fool. Is that enough?
A little time comment. Yeah.
It better be good.
You're going to love it. The time issue. You want to take time to work this out. You're mixing the gospel with the world of Satan and trying to come up with something that will benefit you.
Remember what I told you. Anytime you think time is necessary, you're in a state of rebellion. The scriptures are clear. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Why? Because the process of time means that you have to go up to the mountain and mix up some brew and take a little hair of a newt and eye of a frog and toenail of a whatever it is and mix it together so that you can come up with a new solution to this. It's just pure witchcraft. We don't have to read the Buckner chapter again, do we? Isaiah 57?
We live in time, we believe in time, we worship time, and we think that God is like us. We don't believe that every word that God said is always true in every place, in every situation, at every time. So we think that when he said, "Oh, you generation of vipers," that was something he said 2,000 years ago to somebody else in another place. This thing that worships time will not accept that he's always saying.
Well, I mean look at the pronouns he used. You are the ones that slew Abel. You are the ones that slew Zacharias. You are the ones that crucified Christ. Oh no, that couldn't be true. Well, I promise you it is. That's why this little God stuff, whatever it is, will it be today? What can cause you to arise from your spiritual death? Shall love songs from the earth herself awaken my love, my fair one? Shall a cup of cold water stir the remembrance of the garden where we walked and talked together? Shall the smell of a flower turn your head to my love waiting to be received? What shall it be, for I shall try all things to reach you? Shall love expressed in death impress you to repent? Shall the display of my universe spectacular taunt your curiosity to wonder who I am? Shall the falling leaves remind you of your fall from my presence? What shall it be? I will pound at your heart with tears of my rain, raging in the chamber of your darkness, waiting, waiting, waiting for the breaking of your pride, that you may be set free and live. But if you separate yourself from your own sin and from the sin of your forefathers and say, well, that was them that did that, then you're going to spend eternity in aloneness. And you're always going to be a victim. Somebody's always going to upset you, which happens to be my job. Somebody's always not going to be nice to you. Somebody's always going to make fun of your ideas. Somebody's always going to unmercifully kid you about what you take seriously. What? What are you laughing at now?
Moi.
You, the witch of the lair, the wicked witch of the lair.
Something happened, I think it was last spring, maybe in the fall, I can't remember, but I was having one of the warnings in the lair. He looked up and said, don't take this so seriously. And I went, he's right.
Don't take you seriously. That's what's so sickening. Yes. Take a big guy.
What was the quote you just did there?